This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Jesus, you speak to us in parables to help make a point, to lead to our increased understanding. So now when we talk and we listen, in effect, we preach and listen to another parable. May my words, may the ears that hear my words, be nothing but an understanding of your great love for us, poured out in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Good morning. I wait for this Sunday every 3 years because I think every third year I have been here until now, I think this has always been the Sunday when we've had the diaspora. After VCC, the kids have left for Canoga, people have left for their vacations, and the church is, even in non-COVID times, less than we have here today. But you're here. So we're going to do what I have done every 3 years on this Sunday with this gospel. We're going to play Name That Tune. So I'm going to leave out the last line, and all that know it, you're going to sing it. Here we go. Blow me a kiss from across the room. Say I look nice when I'm not. Touch my hair as you pass my chair. Wow, we just all who sang that gave away our age. Give me your arm as we cross the street. Call me at 6 on the dot. A line a day when you're far away. There you go. I could sit down right now and say, that's your sermon. Because in many senses, this is what this gospel is about. Yeah, it's a Kitty Callan song from 1954, but it's really the major point that Jesus is making with this parable today. Small mustard seed. Samuel, knowing that little old David is the one who's going to become this great king, paying attention to those little things. Remember that famous story of Mother Teresa, interviewed when she was starting things up, and she said, well, I feel God is calling me to do this, and I have 3 pennies, and we're going to make it happen. And the interviewer says, you can't do anything with 3 pennies. 3 pennies, and with God on my side, I can do everything. Little things mean a lot. Nothing can stop the growing of God's kingdom. Nothing can stop growing. I experienced that with this recent trip. After a year and a half to go back home and see my mother and my brothers and my sisters, and as sure as you're venturing out and seeing people you haven't seen for a long time, you notice changes. Some of them, the famous COVID-15 or 20 that they've gained. Some who've used the opportunity to lose that much or more with intentional exercise and dieting. Even people's mental states, when we haven't been with them for a year and a half and you're in person, you notice the changes more. My nephew, I think now, is 7 feet. He must have grown 2 feet in a year and a half. Things change. But the gospel today, with this story of the mustard seed, is encouraging us to what I would call a fundamental optimism. There was this old thing back in theology called a fundamental option But I think more appropriately with a gospel like this, it's about a fundamental optimism. To know that this is about the kingdom of God is coming forth, and God is available to us to partner in that. But whether or not we choose to partner, it's happening. Just like the crops that grow. First the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. So if nothing else today you hear, hear this. Jesus is telling us to be optimistic, even in the worst times. To never give up on ourselves, and to never give up on one another. Our job is to continue to nurture the seeds, and God's kingdom will grow. Now, the optimal result for healthy growth in our lives is when our biological families also become the support in our spiritual lives as best as possible as well. It doesn't always happen that way. Families are messy business, as Dick Hardell used to tell us all here. But today we're celebrating the best of all worlds here. That this family has chosen to welcome these children into their lives and adopted both Wyatt and Hannah. And we see that in God's incredible loving plan, that it goes beyond biology and the way we can connect at the highest levels. It goes to the Milling family, because family comes first. And as hard as it is, this is a decision rooted in being close to those they love the most, their family. So we celebrate those two things. Now, this is not to say that these things aren't easy, because families don't always end up being the most supporting folks when it's not so good. You know, I follow Rick Warren, the pastor out at Saddleback, that was an initial purpose-driven program that we implemented here and still follow at St. Joseph's. And Rick has announced that he's now going to retire, and they're going to start the search for a new pastor of Saddleback. Don't worry, I am not interested. But last week, Rick preached, and his title was this: How to Discern the Best Time to Make a Major Change in Your Life. Sounds like a great sermon, doesn't it? You know what he's preaching on today? How to handle insults and ridicule. We don't always get that support. But this is what we go through. Now, to understand this context, I'm going to take us back to last week when Wendy preached that wonderful sermon that I, by the way, finally got to listen to in my pajamas with a cup of coffee, sitting around the table with my mom. But this particular section of Mark's gospel is a unit. It goes all together from the middle of chapter 3 to the beginning of chapter 6. And you could really call it Jesus a prophet, powerful in word and deed. Because the first part of the section talks about the words, these parables that we've just heard one of. And then after that, there are the deeds. Now, in the middle of that is the gospel that we're going to hear pretty soon. And that's sort of the apex where Jesus is in the storm at sea and shows his ultimate power over nature. And so these words come at the beginning. And there are these parables. There was the sower and the seed before this. There was the lamp, not under a bushel basket. And now there's this one that we hear today about the small mustard seed. Then there's the peak of the storm at sea. And then Mark talks about Jesus' deeds, that man possesses cured. The evil spirits go into the swine who jump over the cliff. Then Jairus' daughter is healed, and the woman with the hemorrhages is healed. But at both ends of this section, Mark is making a point. Remember last week that the gospel talked about the fact that Jesus' family came to take him away. They wanted to lock him up. You talk about sometimes the biological family isn't the greatest support. Here's what happened there with Jesus. And now he's going to end this particular pyramid section later on in chapter 6, where he says they didn't listen to him. A prophet is not without honor in his hometown. Sort of completing that section, letting us know that, yes, family is important. And when we can have these beautiful situations that do emerge, that's the optimal. But there will be times in the kingdom that we might be called to listen to the voice of God instead. That can be hard. Someone that's very special to me, when I was having a conversation over this when I was on this little trip to St. Louis, said it comes down for him to this. You hang around those who love the most, and you try to help everybody else to get there. For me, wow, did that hit home. Hang around those who love the most and help others to get there. It's a good way to go about our journey in this particular context. Do little things mean a lot? You bet they do. That song can seem quite trite, but when we keep it in terms of that Mother Teresa story, what a difference it can make. Just to smile to someone, to say a kind word, to be present to them when they're taking care of us, to say thank you. All those little things that make such a difference. I want to end today with a story that's very special to me. There was a baby that was born in Italy. His name, Giovanni di Bernardone. He was born to his mother, Pica di Berlamont, who was a French noblewoman. He was born when the father was traveling because he was a prosperous silk merchant by the name of Pietro di Bernardone. And when he came back, he decided to add to Giovanni's name to honor the French background that he had on his mother's side, and so he called him Francesco. We know him as Saint Francis. Born into that wealth, there was something within him that God touched him to know that he was called to something more. And so he had the courage not to listen to those voices of his own biological family who wanted him to give up this crazy thing of helping the poor. As a matter of fact, it became so difficult that there was sort of an arbitration, and he came before the bishop, and he ended up saying to his father, I give back to you everything that you've given me, including his clothes, the clothes he was wearing. He strips down, the bishop comes and covers him with a cloak, as if to say, I accept, and I will support you. It wasn't long after that Francis goes to the valley outside of the town, and he sees this little church in ruins, and there's a cross there. The church is called San Damiano, and that cross is represented in the cross that's in our pulpit today. He heard that cross speaking to him, and that cross said to him, I want you, Francesco, to rebuild my church. Francis thought that that meant to physically rebuild the stones of the church, and so he got his buddies together, and that's what they started to do. Simple things, little things. But he came to realize as these buddies became brothers in a religious sense, that they were called to do much more, to rebuild the entire Church of God. And the Franciscan movement was born. There is a great movie, if you've never seen it. It goes back to the 1960s, and it's music by Donovan, and it's called Brother, Sun, Sister, Moon. And they take that concept that little things, simple things, when they are done with love, can grow into amazing things like that mustard seed. And they sing this song when they're celebrating what God has done through them. If you want your dream to be, take your time, go slowly. Do few things, but do them well. Heartfelt work grows purely. If you want to live life free, take your time, go slowly. Do few things, but do them well. Simple joys are holy. Day by day, stone by stone, build your secret slowly. Day by day, you'll grow too. You'll know heaven's glory. Simple things are holy. Little things mean a lot. In whatever way God is calling each of us to foster that mustard seed in our lives, may we have the grace, the strength, and the fundamental optimism to partner with God. Amen.